Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. Over the past 2 weeks, we've seen some American athletes make history in the 2018 Winter Olympics. The big story was the U.S. women's hockey team winning gold for the first time in 20 years. Also, American figure skater Nathan Chen landed a record 6 quadruple jumps in the men's free skate, and American snowboarder Chloe Kim became the first woman to land back-to-back 1080s in the Olympic snowboarding halfpipe competition. Well, joining us from Pyeongchang to discuss the 2018 Winter Olympics in advance of Sunday's closing ceremonies is Matt Pepin, digital sports editor for the Boston Globe. Hi there, Matt.
Hi, Deborah. Thanks for having me on.
So this is your first Olympics. What's it like to be there in person?
It's been a fascinating journey, no doubt about it. I've loved watching, especially like the displays of patriotism across all the venues, not just the Americans, all the European people at all the big ski events, and the crowds of snowboarding have been really energetic, and certainly the hockey game. I went to the U.S.-Russia hockey game, and the energy there was absolutely electric. So it's really been interesting to see the enthusiasm that exists for winter sports.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about some of the news, the most recent news out of the Olympics. The medal event for women's figure skating was last night. How did the three Americans do?
They did not do well. Mm. And so part of the problem, my colleague John Powers believes, is that we need to train in a different way and focus more on sort of a team spirit. I always relate this to how the U.S. ski team operates, where they have a center of excellence in Park City, Utah, and it's a place that everyone gathers when they're not doing on-snow training so that they can all work together, whether it's snowboarders or skiers or freestyle skiers, cross-country skiers. They kind of harness the collective wisdom of the group and the collective power of all the team management staff there, and it makes them better for that. And I think that U.S. figure skating needs to look at some sort of model like that instead of having these individual pockets around the country that develop one person at a time. And, it's maybe not quite the same competitive fire or motivation as, the Russians. This is what the Russians have, and this is why they were 1-2 on the podium yesterday.
Hmm. Now, you've mentioned that you're excited about the curling Cinderella story. The U.S. men's curling team beat Canada. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I've never clicked around the dial on my TV as much as I've done here trying to find the U.S. curling team on TV, because they're on this little streak. They've won 5 games in a row, and for a while there it looked like they might not even get out of the pool play part of the tournament, and now here they're in the gold medal game. It's the farthest they've ever progressed, and the silver medal that they're guaranteed to win would be the best ever by the U.S. team, and I just think that for a sport that becomes popular once every 4 years, it has this certain mystique, it has this certain attraction. The people involved in it, John Schuster's the leader, and Matt Hamilton's one of the players who's been fairly prominent, especially on social media. It's just been a good story to follow, and especially the fact that they beat Canada twice.
You mentioned the skiing events, and you saw the race, right, between American skiers Lindsey Vonn and Michaela Schifrin. What was that like?
I did. It was a little disappointing, to be honest. The crowd was really small, but that was at a venue that's remote. It's about a 45-minute ride away from Pyeongchang, at a distant mountain. But the racing itself was great because it put Vonn at her specialty against Schifrin at her specialty. Vonn won the downhill portion in the morning, and then they go to a slalom run in the afternoon, which is Schifrin's area of expertise. And the drama continued and built and built and built. And the way they do it is in the afternoon run, they reverse the skiers, so they go that the best one in the morning goes last in the afternoon. So when Schifrin went down 6th from last, she took the lead. She was subsequently passed, but she was still on the medal stand, and only Vonn was left in the starting gate. And then when she began her slalom run, which is not an area of specialty, she said that she had limited training leading up to that. She skied out pretty early on the course. So that ended the drama kind of quick, but all throughout the day, you could feel it building, you know, especially there was a gap in between the two runs, and you could sense the anticipation of this, you know, young rising star versus the woman who's the all-time leader for women's World Cup victories. You know, it was a great clash of two strong American personalities and two of the most dominant American skiers.
Mm-hmm. And we have just a little bit of time left here, but I want to make sure we talk about the Elizabeth Sweeney story. She's an American competing for the Hungarian team for the women's half pipe, and she performed a routine that's gone viral. She came in last, and many are debating whether she should have been even included in the games. What do you think about this, Matt?
Well, I think I don't have any quarrel with her participation in this games, because she found a loophole and exploited it. The point I disagree with is in the qualification process itself. I think that, you know, the freestyle skiing authorities really ought to look at tightening up and raising the bar for qualification. I mean, she basically qualified because she showed up at some World Cup events and earned points because there weren't enough competitors for her not to get the points. In other sports, like in track and field, if you want to run the 100 in the Summer Olympics, you have to meet a certain time standard that that proves that you are an Olympic caliber athlete. I think that's what's needed here.
Mm-hmm. And so, Justin, we've got about 10, 15 seconds left here. Only a few events left as the Olympics close this weekend. What are you most looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to big air snowboarding, which Bostonians will remember was what they held in Fenway Park just about 2 years ago at this time, where they built a giant ramp that came from the outfield toward home plate, and skiers and snowboarders went flying off of that and performed one trick at a time. This event is the men's snowboarding.
Okay, Matt Pepin, digital sports editor for the Boston Globe. To read his Olympics coverage, go to radioboston.org. Thanks for being with us, Matt.
Thank you.
That's our show for today. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Deborah Becker. This is Radio Boston.